Welcome to the Creativity Cafe, where we get to explore creativity in all its aspects, from designing your lifestyle to your work and business to creating more beautiful and sustainable solutions to global challenges. I'm Katie Curtin, and I'm hosting this cafe because creativity and helping creative changemakers thrive and get their work out in the world is what I'm all about. And you can visit me at www.katiecurtin.com. Now, today's guest is Jennifer Lee, who will be talking about getting the boring out of your biz, right brain planning for creative souls. And Jennifer is very special in the way she's been able to blend her creativity into the way she has designed and built her business. And I just love looking at any of her materials from her business and her website and everything. It's all just beautiful. And I have to say I have serious artistic envy for what you're doing. It's just gorgeous.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm just delighted. And before I introduce you more to Jennifer and her background, I would like to just say a few words on the format of today's call. First, we'll spend about 40 to 45 minutes talking about today's topic. Then we'll open up the call for questions and discussion from you, our audience. And if you have your computer in front of you, I'd invite you to visit our Facebook page and type Creativity Cafe in the search field and to look for it, and then click on the Like button. And introduce yourself and post questions and comments there as they come up. So make yourself comfortable. Take a sip of your favorite brew while I welcome Jennifer Lee and tell you a little bit more about her. She is the founder of Artisan Coaching, an award-winning author of The Right Brain Business Plan, a creative visual map for success. Her best-selling book has helped thousands of entrepreneurs around the world grow their businesses authentically and creatively. And after a decade of climbing the corporate ladder at companies including Gap and Accenture, she took the leap in 2006 to pursue her passions full-time. And Jennifer has been featured in such things as A Whole Living, Entrepreneur, Family Circle, and Choice magazines. And she lives in the San Francisco Bay Area with her husband and beautiful husky lab mix. Your husky must get warm sometimes there. Although with the cold thing going throughout North America, she must be in her element. So she looks lovely. I see her pictures posted on your Facebook pages and things like that. Okay, so, well, we'll launch into the questions. And what I wanted to ask you first, which is, what's been the keys to you creating a successful business based on your unique gifts?
I think one of the key things is actually getting clear on what those gifts are, right?
Okay.
Because I think for some people it's, you know, not totally clear. They haven't quite fully owned it yet. And I think for me, my business growth has been really aligned with how much I've been stepping more and more into my gifts as a creative person, as being very visual. And, you know, I was always pretty creative, you know, an artistic growing up as a kid, but I didn't really think to be incorporating it into my business so much until I took this leadership program, and it really helped me get in touch with my own impact as a leader, being softer, you know, feminine, creative, intuitive, and how that's very much needed in the world. As a whole, and then in business for sure, because, you know, we're so used to thinking about it a certain way. I know you were joking about your traditional business plan a little bit earlier.
Yes.
But really sensing like, okay, people need to have the permission to have things be fun, have things be colorful, use the emotion, use intuition to be, to have that infuse your life and your business. And so when I started to embrace that more, things started to have more traction and more traction in my business. So I'd say that's one of the key things, is getting clear on the gifts. And a lot of that comes from personal growth work, but also in, you know, working with other people and having things reflected back to me and, you know, or you if you're going through this process, and seeing what resonates with people. So
that's so true. And I think a lot of us are almost, and perhaps we're taught to be that way, we're afraid of really being ourselves and that somehow it will undercut our business. And I know I almost thought of my artistic self as being in contradiction to business for a long time. And so I think it's really interesting the angle that you're coming at it from it, because the more I've actually incorporated my own artistic and theatrical background, the more, you know, clients are liking what I'm doing.
Yeah, so. You know, it's funny, because when I was in my corporate job, you know, I was doing coaching on the side. I had this other kind of coaching brand, you know, it's called Change Journey Coaching. It looked very professional, and it, you know, is very, I don't know, simple, clear, business-like, nothing very artistic about it. I mean, it looked nice, but it wasn't, you couldn't tell it was artistic. And then I had this other site where I was doing my book arts and collage, and they were totally separate.
Right.
It wasn't until I started to bring them together that things started to click. But it's interesting how we can compartmentalize and think it needs to be, you know, one way in this arena and the other way, and yet when you start to bring more of your full self into your work and your life, things flow a little bit better.
Exactly. And so I'm wondering what, just actually to give us a little bit more of your journey from corporate life to being a coach and to incorporating your creative self. What you started off in corporate America. What were your expectations there? What made you to leave it all?
Let's see. My expectations there were to, you know, get a good salary, have a certain title, climb the corporate ladder. I was doing organizational development, leadership development, executive development, kind of my role. And it's funny because, you know, I have a master's in communication management, and when I was in my master's program, I'm like, oh, I want to do this consulting thing. That seemed really cool and somewhat glamorous, and very intellectually stimulating, and really thinking like, oh, I can make a difference within an organization, helping them with their culture, with their communications, you know, with leadership. And, you know, that's when I was doing the consulting. And when I was at Gap, you know, I worked my way up. I got to the level I wanted to be at, had the salary that I wanted, and I was actually in the role that I thought I really wanted. I'd move from doing more organizational development, change-related things in regard to systems implementations, to then working directly with leaders, with vice presidents and up, in terms of helping them onboard into their new roles and get executive coaching. And I had all this great visibility, you know, the level I wanted, and I was probably the most unhappy that I had been.
Oh, really? Because, yeah.
Yeah, it's really funny, because going in, if I had thought, like, oh, someday I would, you know, have a role of director in executive development, like, how awesome is that?
Mm.
And because I was also doing my own stuff on the side, so I was kind of doing the compare and contrast of, like, oh, I really enjoy, you know, the coaching that I'm doing on the side and the coaching and work that I'm doing in the day job. The more visibility I got to the leadership there and how things were run, and it just was a real turnoff of like, oh, this is not in alignment with my own values.
Mm.
I'm not really getting to do the work I want to do or have the impact that I want to have. And gosh, working for the man kind of sucks.
Yes. You probably did it a lot longer than I did. I never had much of a toleration.
Yeah, you know, I stuck it out for a decade, you know, doing my stuff on the side for a few years in there. But there was something, I had this certain ambition of wanting to, you know, get certain experience and reach a certain level, you know, title-wise and salary-wise. And, you know, that was just something that I think a lot of us are brought up with, of like, you know, get a good job and all of that. So I think I was working with a lot of that kind of outside expectations that I had imposed on myself.
Yeah.
And I am so glad that I actually had all that great experience. I mean, certainly a lot of it has been transferable into the work I do now. And, you know, now I'm the executive of my company, right?
Yes. You're the woman.
I'm the woman. I work for myself. Yeah, and so in terms of making that transition, I had worked with my own coach for the very first time. I think it was back in 2000, so it's been several years now. And I just got, you know, a lot out of that experience. I thought it'd be great to do this someday, help people in this way. And then probably about 3 years after that, I went through the coach training that my first coach had gone through. I really loved it. I'm like, this is awesome. So I started taking clients on the side. I took the leadership program. And I also co-led a leadership retreat with a colleague of mine. And it was, you know, we did this one, it was a year-long program that we did, but the first weekend was this weekend retreat, and, you know, the group got together, and we were really helping the participants get in touch with what is their big vision, what is their dream, what's the impact they want to have in the world, what are their strengths, like all the stuff that just gets me really excited.
And yeah, me too.
how much they came alive and, like, the transformations that happened, you know, just within a short weekend. You know, and then that Monday I went back to the office, you know, and had to, like, do my job. And it was very visceral for me of, like, gosh, I want to be doing that other work. You know, that was work that didn't feel like work. I was getting paid to help people transform their lives, and I really enjoyed that. Whereas, you know, back under the fluorescent lights,
yes,
being
oh
around
gosh.
The office and all that schedule that wasn't mine, it just was very clear to me, like, okay, something needs to change here. Because I've been tolerating that. I'd been toying with the idea of leaving for, like, 3 years. And so it just became like, yes, it's time.
And what made you just be able to take that final walk out the door? Was it just that experience, or was there anything else?
That was certainly a key experience in terms of making it very palpable for me that it was time to leave.
Yes.
And then, of course, just other things happening within the role and leadership there. And it just, knowing, why am I putting up with this anymore? There's something more awaiting for me. And, of course, it was scary. And the first, I'd say even that first 6 months, because I had quit in June, so that, when was that, 2006, that was just me, like, figuring out, like, what am I doing with my day? How am I getting more clients? You know, feeling a bit lost, and but also kind of enjoying the freedom. You know, and in 2007, 2008 were really when I started to focus more on the business and grow that. But it was nice to have that freedom, for sure.
And you've certainly done really well. And here's a more general question is, what part does planning play in allowing a person's creativity to thrive?
It kind of seems counterintuitive, right? Planning and structure can help you be more creative, because I think, you know, us creative types can kind of balk at structure, like, oh, I don't want to be boxed in, you know, don't tell me what to do. You know, I was just talking about how I didn't like that in my corporate job. And yet, there's something about planning and structure that I think can be a really nice container for you to run wild within that container. It's almost like, you know, when you have certain constraints to work with, you actually are forced in a way to become more creative. So having, you know, a plan in place, having some structure can be, you know, this really nice foundation for you to then allow your creativity to expand.
And in,
you know, a container.
Yeah, and in actual fact, if you look at creating art, there's always some restraints. And
yeah.
And in fact, you need it. I remember actually being at art school and finding it in the classes where you were, where it was very undefined as to what you were doing, I would have more problems. But if I was given more specifics and directions, then my creativity
right.
would come out more. And so,
yeah, because you're like spinning your wheels, like, oh, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, and you're wasting the time trying to figure out kind of the basic starting point or the structure. But if that's already there for you to respond to, and maybe even break some of those rules, that
exactly.
it's just, there's something to kind of press up against, you know?
Yeah, there's some rules to break.
Exactly, you're not floating around. Yeah, so that can be helpful. Because I know for myself, and I see it a lot with clients and people in my mentorship program, there can be so much energy wasted with the spinning the wheels. Like, I don't know how to get started. I don't know what the first thing to do. I don't know which thing to focus on. And then I feel bad for being overwhelmed and confused and that whole thing that a lot of us right-brainers and emotional types
exactly.
beat ourselves up about. Whereas if you just, you know, give yourself a real simple plan or structure to have that be the starting point, then a lot more innovation can happen because you're not worrying about kind of the basic things.
Exactly. Yeah, and it is like that we just get overwhelmed by all our ideas, and we need to kind of hone down and figure out what we really want to work on right now.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I'm going to talk about something that's not business related, but it certainly has been transferable to the business. So I just moved to a new house in October, and things were just in chaos, you know, in boxes. I couldn't find anything, and very frustrating. I was wasting my time, like, going into the garage, digging through a box, happening to find something else, like, oh, I need this, but I wasn't looking for it. Get distracted. But, you know, after Christmas, I had some downtime to really just organize and settle in and create some systems and structures for myself. You know, basic things like how, where things are in the kitchen, or, you know, where my supplies are in the office. And it has made such a difference to be able to just know where things are and to just go to it and have, like, okay, here's the steps that I'm going to take to, you know, do the dishes or whatever.
Yes.
And I didn't really have that before, and I was wasting so much time. And the same goes for our business. If we have, you know, simple structures in place of how we offer programs or do the newsletter, what have you, have templates, stuff like that. I mean, it just makes things so much easier. So instead of, like, how do I get this newsletter to go out, you get to focus on the awesome new content that you're putting in there and how you're connecting with people, because that's actually what's more important.
Yeah, yeah. And so I was wondering whether you could explain perhaps 5 steps, or you might have more or less, to creating a business plan which works, like just the basic outline of how you would go about it.
Okay, yeah. I don't know if I have, like, 5 exact steps. I might be a little bit more right-brain in answering the left-brain.
Yeah,
5
for
steps.
Sure.
But I get what you're asking about. So,
like, where do you start?
Right, where do you start, kind of what's included, and then I have a couple of kind of tips to keep in mind to make it work for you.
Okay,
so I'd
great.
Say the first place to start is getting in touch with, you know, your big vision. What is it that you're wanting to create with your business? What's the impact that you want to have, so that you're really excited about what you're creating and how you're helping people? And I think for a lot of creative types, that's a pretty easy thing. Like, you probably have a good sense. Maybe there's too many ideas, but that's okay. And I like to get that all, you know, quote unquote, on paper by doing what I call the big vision collage. And that's just so you have a tangible reminder of kind of what you're wanting to create, what you're up to in the world. So having that big vision. The next is really knowing, you know, who you're serving, who your perfect customers are, who your target audience is, and how you're going to reach them, right? So you need to understand that. And also you need to know what it is that you're offering them. So what are your products or services, how is it helping them, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that differs for people. You know, it depends on what you do. It might be a mix of products and services. And then knowing your numbers. So how will you make money with those offers? What are your expenses? It's kind of managing the moolah part.
Mm-hmm. Which I think a lot of creative types, they kind of get stalled there.
Yeah, and we can talk about some tips around mm-hmm. that in a bit. But definitely knowing the numbers. And then, how a team, if you're going to have a team or not, or at least getting what kind of help do you need? You might need to outsource certain projects or tasks, maybe, getting the website up and running, or maybe there's some ongoing admin that needs to happen. When you're just starting out, you may be doing it all yourself. And it's good if you're wanting to grow to be thinking ahead of, what kind of additional support would help you use your time more wisely. So I think those are probably the five different kind of main areas.
You got exactly five. Satisfied the left brain. Left brain there. Okay. Yes, and you had some other stuff to, tips to share around this? Uh-oh. Oops. Hello? Hello, I'm not hearing. There you are, Jennifer. I suddenly lost you for a moment.
I don't know what happened.
And I could see myself on the board, that I was being heard. well, you're back. So
I'm back.
Now you can share it. Yeah.
Let's see. So I was saying, because I love part of your question was like creating a plan that works. Mm-hmm. So those are like the building blocks that need to be in place. But, I love what you're sharing earlier. I don't know if it's on the recording about how you had.
Actually, I think it was off it. But
it was
what
off
I
it.
Was telling people was that I created a business plan, I guess, about 7 years or more ago to get a bank loan. And I didn't get the bank loan because it turned out that however good my business plan was, I just wasn't quite eligible at that point. And it lay in my drawer it's still there, actually. I can't bring it to me to actually throw it away. I just look at it every once in a while. It's like a dinosaur. So, anyway, so.
Yeah, that's great. So, you want a plan that you're actually going to be engaged with and excited about and
right.
look at and use, right? So I think that's the other piece of having a plan that works is, making it fun, making it something that you can update regularly. And then also that it's not just, a plan, like a pretty plan that you look at, but you're actually taking action from it. Because I think a lot of times people think like, I'm going to, put this plan in place, and then they wonder, like, why am I not reaching my goals? Well, have you actually taken steps out in the real world and you're not just living in your imagination?
Yes.
so there's the small action steps that happen over time can accumulate into, you reaching your goal. So having that plan be something that's like a living, breathing thing that you continue to test out, like, does this part of the plan work? Are these my perfect customers who want these products? Like, I don't know. I need to put it out there and see. If it is, great. How do I do more of that? If not, what do I need to tweak? And kind of make adjustments as you go. So thinking of it as, a living, breathing thing that you're constantly working with and testing.
Yes, and I'm wondering with this business plan, or at least, the more formal thing, you've got the big vision collage, but I'm wondering how your creative methods actually help when you're thinking about who am I serving? Do some of the images you've put on the collage help that, or are there other techniques that you use that way?
Yeah, certainly for some folks in their big vision collage, the kind of perfect customers will show up or who they're wanting to serve. In the Right Brain Business Plan book, there's actually a chapter on, getting in touch with your perfect customers, and there's an exercise to do perfect customer portraits where you're actually focused doing a collage on who it is you're wanting to serve. So some people might have, a few different type of portraits. Maybe they work with moms who are maybe trying to find themselves again now that their kids are back in school, or you know, people on Etsy. So making sure that you have the clear groupings of who they are and having the visual can help with that. And a great tip for doing, you know, the different visuals for that is going to websites or looking at magazines where those perfect customers would tend to go, because you'll probably find those kind of images there that will really help you connect with and get a sense of who these people are. And then what can be really can be really fun is if you're, you know, writing your newsletter or creating a program, working on an offer, you can have that perfect customer portrait in front of you, so you are actually, you know, imagining having a conversation with that person and making it just a more personal experience.
Beautiful. That sounds fun. I was wondering, can you explain more to our listeners how you draw on the capacities of the right brain in creating your plan? You've told us, like, the vision with the visioning board, and then with the finding the perfect clients. Are there anything else, like, in terms of, like, when you're looking for your, like, what services you might offer, ways to draw that out from the right brain?
Well, I think, you know, when we talk about right brain, we're talking about kind of big picture, kind of nonlinear intuition, emotion, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with paying attention to kind of what lights you up. Like, if you're thinking about, you know, what products or services to offer, kind of thinking about, you know, what it is that you enjoy doing, how do you enjoy helping people and interacting with them, and using that kind of joy and emotion as information for you to think about, is this something that I want to offer? Another part of the right brain is really the connection piece with other people, right? So
yes,
I think getting the feedback, asking people, what is it they need, you know, building those relationships can be very informative about what it is, you know, that you're offering in terms of products and services, or how you can enhance what you're already offering. So being in conversation with them and listening, right? And that's sometimes where the intuition comes into play, because you're listening to what they're saying. You're also listening to what they're maybe not saying, right? Reading between the lines, maybe checking in and seeing, you know, am I also hearing this? And I think that can be helpful. And also paying attention to what you see people doing or not doing and how you can help them. So I think that the right brain part of it, in terms of the relationships and really kind of that emotional intelligence piece of really witnessing people, understanding, empathizing, I think those are great skills to tap into when you're thinking about what it is that you're going to offer people.
Beautiful. Yeah, so I was wondering if you can outline some fun and accessible ways to map out your business success when you're looking ahead. How can you? I'm thinking more like from the vision, that you have the big vision and the collage, but to planning your days and your weeks and your months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple of things that I think could be helpful to talk about. Especially since you just were talking about months and all of that. So I'll talk about that, and then I have an idea around the money part as well.
Wonderful.
But in terms of kind of the fun, accessible way to map out the vision, one of my favorite tools is what I call my sticky note project plan. It's basically this giant wall calendar, and you can get one at PaperSource, paper-source.com. And I think it's called the Academic Wall Calendar. It's
okay.
Huge. And if you have the space, like I have a wall where they all 12 months actually fit. And I organize it by quarter. So, you know, January, February, March are kind of in a column together, April, May, June, et cetera.
Mm.
And I kind of connect back with my big vision, like what is it I'm wanting to create this year, and then I'll start plotting it out, like actually putting it on the calendar of like, okay, in Q1 this is the big thing that's going to happen, and you know, Q2